755 Texas.
This show furnished by Cologne Family Services.
You are listening to Parenting with Vanessa Cologne on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Do you have a child who doesn't listen or tunes you out? Is a teacher telling you that your child may need extra support? Does your son or daughter have a hard time having successful interactions with peers? Do you feel overwhelmed and concerned about the well-being of your family and/or development of your child? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone. Vanessa Cologne is a family interventionist, bringing 20 years of hands-on experience working with children who have learning and behavioral challenges in the home and at school. Vanessa is here now to answer your questions on how to parent with a difficult child. So get on the phone and call us now at 1-800-ABC-KABC. That's 1-800-222-5222. 1-800-222-5222. And now, Vanessa Cologne.
Welcome. You're listening to Parenting with Vanessa Cologne. My time is normally on Sundays at 7 o'clock, but since the Kings are playing, I got bumped at this time, which is actually, I actually enjoy a different time, different crowd. Hopefully you guys will listen in on Sunday. So last week we talked about meltdowns and your child in the community or out home. But what I do want to talk about first is a little bit about me, since you guys are new to me and who I am. So I have a school in San Francisco for children with behavioral challenges. And we have a distance learning program for kids that are being bullied or whatnot, or just having a hard time with different learning differences that just need more individualized attention. So everything I do is individualized for every child. I also developed a yoga program for kids who have autism called Yoga Education for Autism Spectrum. And I train different teachers around the country. And it's one of my passions. How do you teach kids about their own body so they learn self-regulation skills themselves? And I also do consultations. So I go into homes, and you'll be seeing me out in the community all the time. I don't have an office, and I actually enjoy that place. I'm one that likes to float around a little bit and go from one place to the next, especially with children, because how are kids going to learn to be part of society as they are having meltdowns at home and parents don't want to take them out? So this is a topic that I feel like is really important to talk about. And last week we talked about ways to, when your child is in that state of mind, how to be able to calm them down, which was when you ask them to do something, make sure, right, that you are asking them only two times, and the third time you're making sure you're following through with what you ask them to do, right? So, for example, you tell them to come here and they're across the room, you're not going to yell at them five times, right? I mean, that's just, maybe you will, because I think a lot of times kids will start to learn, oh, when mom yells or dad yells, that's when I'm going to come back. That's when I'm going to come in and listen to them. But I'm not going to do it until we get to that tone of voice, right? So what you want to start doing is teaching your child, hey, you know, I'm going to be consistent. So I'm going to have a rule for myself as a parent. When I ask you to do something twice, the third time I'm going to follow through with it. And that's really important. Consistency, once again, is key. You also want to make sure that you're giving them time in between you asking them to do something. For example, when you ask them to come here, you're going to count in your head to three or five. Give them 3 to 5 seconds to make sure that they're processing the information. I think that's important to understand that. A lot of times, if you're just saying, come here, or clean up, you know, by the time that they heard it the third time, you've said it so many times, they're pretty much done with you anyways, and they're not hearing what you're saying. And you can actually start to feel the anxiety just going, mom, dad, I already heard you. You already asked me to do that. Why are you asking me again? So you want to make sure that you are actually on their eye level. They can hear you. If you're across the room, I mean, they might be doing an activity or doing something else, and they're so hyper-focused on that activity, they're not going to hear what you're asking them to do. So you're asking them to clean up and do that. They're just not going to hear you anyways. And here you are getting frustrated, and yet you're not seeing the fact that they will probably listen to you if they're actually hearing what you're saying, but they're not doing it because they're in this state of mind right now, which this activity is more important than you asking them to do something, right? And then also transitions. Transitions are super hard for kids. Every time, you know, I've talked to parents, like, well, I'm at school and a teacher says the transition's difficult. I don't know what that means. And I go, well, it means when you ask a child to do something from one activity to the next, that's a difficult transition, right? They don't want to do something that they really don't care about to do something, and then when it's something that they really care about. So, for example, doing Legos, you know, or their iPad. You give them the iPad, great. They're going to say 2 minutes. Come on, dad, mom, what, an extra minute? An extra, come on, please. I'm sure that drives you crazy, right? Have rules in your house, right? How much iPad time are they going to get? How much screen time are you going to let your child have? That is a question I can't answer. It's a question that you need to come up with for your own self, right? You might need that break when you get home from work and just going, oh, that was a really long day. And maybe that's fine if your kid has an extra half hour because you need a break. Let yourself have permission to have a break. It's really difficult when you have a child that is constantly coming at you. Kids know what they're doing. Last week, I was in a school, and, you know, there are some behaviors you want to ignore, other behaviors that you're just going to be like, okay, this is not going to work, and some behaviors that you definitely have to have a plan in place, right? But I was in a classroom, and all the kids were singing, getting ready for a show, and this little boy just puts his finger up his nose, like, started to pick his nose, which is totally fine, right? The teacher's like, stop. Like, you need to stop. And he's just looking at her like, no, I'm not stopping. And you could see, like, you know, he's five. And his finger is completely up his nose. And she's just like, stop. And he's just like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's just not going to happen right now. And there's a part where, like, all the kids have to hold hands, okay? So I'm just watching this, right? And I'm actually, you know, working with this little boy. And I'm like, I'm just going to ignore this because he's just getting way too much attention for it. He knows, right? So once again, the teacher starts, you know, and I told the teacher, I'm like, now it's time to ignore this. Let's see what happens. And she's looking at me like, are you kidding? What's happening here? Like, okay. And so he kept doing it. He kept his finger in his nose all the way up the entire time, which is, you know, it is what it is. The next day rolls around. This is where I know. So he's fine. They're practicing again. They're singing. They're doing what they're doing. The minute the teacher walks in, he sits down, puts his finger in his nose, and just his neck sticks out. He's looking at her. And I just started laughing. I'm like, oh, my God, he knows what he's doing. So these are certain behaviors you ignore, right? If you know a child is doing something just to, like, get under your skin and irritate you, ignore it. It's going to eventually fade. If you're not giving that child the attention that they want, which is, you know, am I going to get this attention because I really want that attention? Versus, like, you know, if I was actually able to tell the child next to them, oh, you're doing a great job sitting, and reinforcing the child next to them, they might actually stop doing because they want that positive reinforcement versus always coming at you negatively. So if you're constantly finding yourself yelling at your child, which happens with everybody, even, you know, not even your child, but any family member, take a break, right? And kind of figure out, like, why isn't this working? And what can I do differently to kind of help my child learn? Or is this, if I'm not following through with things, am I teaching this child that he doesn't have to listen to me? Or what else is going on there, right? Or maybe my child is having some real anxiety. And we talked about sensory integration before and, like, how children process information. And it's, you know, some kids have a really hard time with, if too much information's going in, everything shuts down. So when you're in the middle of an argument and your child's melting down, you know, I always tell people, you don't need to argue with a three-year-old, right? Or a three- or five-year-old. When you find yourself negotiating, you've already lost the battle. Like, you're done, right? The child is already in that state of mind, and you're getting into that state of mind, and that's not what you want to happen, right? So you're just going to take a deep breath. If your partner's there with you, you know, it might be like, I need to take a break. You're going to take a break. What is going to, you know, how are you guys taking care of yourself? That's really important too. You want to model self-care to your child so they're actually learning those skills themselves, right? So if you need to take a break, I need to take a break right now. I've had parents call me and say, well, my kid follows me everywhere. So whenever I want a break, they are following me to the bathroom. I have to lock myself in a room. Totally get it. That's very difficult. But then that's where we come up with a plan where it's a family. I call family meetings. I love calling family meetings. All right, it's time to have a family meeting of what's going to make sense for everybody at that time. So what I'll call is either a fire drill, right? If we have a fire drill where everybody needs a break, you know, everyone goes to a spot in the house for 5 minutes until they're able to calm down and talk. Because once you guys are escalated and in that space, and even if your partner, right, if you're fighting, most people don't hear what you're saying anyways. When you're in that zone and it's just kind of like blah, 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 what's happening here? And there was a couple questions from last week's show that were not answered. So I want to kind of backtrack a little bit to last week when we were talking about the meltdowns. One of the things I mentioned was, you know, how do we get children out in the community to do things? Because a lot of times, a lot of parents are just embarrassed by their child's behavior because everyone's looking at them, right? And how do you stop that? And you know what? My thing is, they're gonna look at me no matter what. This is my job, and I chose to do this. And kids need to learn how to be part of society, and that means taking them out in the community. And how do we do that? And that's teaching them the skills they need so they go out, they don't have those meltdowns. And that is really important. And so what I'm asking is, when you see a child having a meltdown, walk by or ask for help. And what does it look like when a child is having a meltdown and you see a parent holding a child? When you see a parent holding a child, that is the way that the child is actually being protected and feeling their body and being able to be self-regulated. So instead of a child hitting and kicking and doing things that can actually hurt themselves, a parent is actually taking the lead and saying, I'm going to be the parent and I'm going to protect you by holding you until you feel safe. And during that time, though, is when everybody's staring. So I just want to educate everyone on like why people are doing what they're doing. And as we'll talk more about this after the break, but my time is normally Sundays at 7. It's Parenting with Vanessa Kalam. I have a school in San Francisco that's individualized learning and behavioral challenges that we work with. Those are my babies, along with a yoga program that I teach all over the Bay to teach kids self-regulation skills. And then I also do consultations where I go in the home. I'm staying with parents. I'm all over the place. So I love it. But being able to be with the child in the natural environment is where I find is the most beneficial for the child. You can also check out my website at Vanessa, VanessaKahlon.com. Once again, it's Vanessa, VanessaKahlon.com. If you have any questions, we're live right now, so please call in at 1-800-222-5222. Once again, it's 1-800-222-5222. Thanks.
You're listening to Parenting with Vanessa Kalam on Talk Radio 790 KABC. If your child is acting out and you're feeling you're losing control, we are here for you live. So get on the phone and call us now at 1-800-ABC-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. That's 1-800-222-5222. Stay tuned.
Trailer for sale or rent.
Laguna Playhouse is proud to present a world premiere musical about a king of country music, a king of folk music, King of the Road, The Roger Miller Story, running 4 weeks only, April 19th to May 14th at the beautiful Laguna Playhouse. Come see the true story of this Country Music Hall of Fame singer and his legendary life, which inspired the songs that remain the soundtrack of our lives. Live on stage at the Laguna Playhouse. For tickets, visit lagunaplayhouse.com now.
King of the Road. Hi, it's Peter Tilden, and you all know how Natron's Healthy Trinity helped me. Well, here's Shirley with her story.
I'm Shirley from Lomita, California. I heard a commercial on the radio about Natron Healthy Trinity, so I called and talked to a counselor. Before that, I had gone to 3 gastroenterologists, and nothing helped me. As soon as I tried Natron Healthy Trinity, everything changed, and within 2 weeks, I experienced complete relief. I can go out for lunch, and I'm not housebound anymore. I'm so pleased with your product, and I'll be taking it the rest of my life. Thank you so much.
Well, you heard it, not just from me, but from Shirley. Natron's Healthy Trinity provides really powerful digestive support for your entire GI tract to help reduce the effects of things that are warning signs, gas, indigestion, bloating. And Natron's Healthy Trinity is gluten-free. It's recommended by doctors by name. It's shipped refrigerated. Call now for your 90-day risk-free trial of Natron's Healthy Trinity. The first 50 callers are going to get 30 days free with their order, plus free second-day delivery. That's great. Call toll-free 866-4-NATRON. That's 866-4, N-A-T-R-E-N, or visit natron.com. Enter promo code Peter.
This is Ed Lukasiewicz.
And Cindy Lukasiewicz at Dynavite.
This year, whenever you order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog, we'll send you a free sample of one of the other doggy things we make.
Like Lico Chaps, Super Mega Fish Oil, or Doggo Suds Shampoo.
What's on your dog's wish list?
We'll offer a different freebie each week at Dynavite.com.
Don't you just love the sound of healthy, happy dogs?
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite for life.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E .com.
Wish I found some better sounds. No one's ever. Welcome back. You're listening to Parenting with Vanessa Kalam on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Whether your child has autism, sensory integration, ADHD, anxiety, or any other issue, and you're feeling at a loss with your child's behavior, this is the show for you. Vanessa has helped empower many parents with tools to improve their parenting skills, and she is here to help you too. To get on the air live with your question or comment, call now, 1-800-ABC-KABC. That's 1-800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222.
Welcome back. You're listening to Parenting with Vanessa Kalam. Normally I'm on Sundays at 7 o'clock, but the Kings are playing, so I got bumped to Saturdays, which is, I actually get to have a day off tomorrow, so it's kind of nice. Well, if you're new to listening to me, I have a school, and it for kids with behavioral and learning challenges. Along with the school, we have a component, if you're not near us, a distance learning program where we actually have an individualized program where we're working with kids around social-emotional learning and really just the academic, but it's making sure that they're getting their needs met with their learning differences. Along with that, I do consultations in the home, and I am all over the place with one family to the next. I'm also out in the community working with all these different children with different needs. And then plus my yoga program for kids who have autism. If you have any questions, please call in at 1-800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222. And so what I want to talk about a little bit is just what I call time-ins. And instead of, I know everyone's like timeouts, I'm not much of a timeout person. I'm more of a time in. Like, how do we help a child self-regulate their body when they're losing control, right? I think that's where one of the biggest things that, you know, we got an email last week regarding a person who was saying that, well, they go in the community, that everyone's staring at them, and we have to end up holding my child because they're kicking, hitting, throwing, doing things. And I just want to kind of talk about that behavior first off. What's worse, right? What's worse if a child actually hurts themselves or parents holding them to keep them safe? And that's something to think about, right? If your kid is like losing it, and I know some people are like, I don't want to touch my child out in the community because maybe someone's going to think it's abuse or whatnot. Really, you're keeping that child safe. And that's key when it comes to teaching self-regulation and the skills that they need to be able to, like, calm their body down. And some kids don't like to be held. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there is one – I have a little boy that doesn't like it, doesn't – but we have to come up with a different strategy that works. But there are other kids. You know, when you're out in the community, what are you going to do when a child – you're at a grocery store and they're having a complete meltdown and they're ready to throw everything off the counter and you're just like, oh, get me out of here, right? But the goal, you know, and when I'm with a child in the community, and this has happened to me many times where I'll just sit down. That's it. Like, I'm just going to plop down on the floor and then hold them nicely in my lap until they calm down, right? And that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to just race them out because I actually want them to learn how to be able to, like, control their body. And I also don't want them to be doing this to get out of the grocery store. I'm like, why are they doing this behavior? And that's the question you have to ask yourself. Are they doing it because, A, it's, like, too overwhelming, B, that they don't really want, you're telling them no, and that's just because they want a piece of candy, or is it, you know, they just want your attention? I mean, who knows? It could be all of the above, or I don't even know. But the thing that I like to talk about is making sure that before the behavior happens, looking at, like, are they trying to get out of something or not? And how are we able to calm this child down? And also making sure that there's follow through. And that's the one thing that I keep saying, because consistency and follow through are key. So whether you have to just take them outside the grocery store and just sit them down, right, or have them in your lap or whatnot, but just really, you know, gently putting your arms around them, just giving them a tight hug, I call it, you know, just to be able to calm the body, because they need to be able to feel where their body is in space and to be able to know that, like, somebody else is helping them self-regulate their body, right? And making sure that once they're calm, by the way, another thing that I find myself doing, I will literally not say anything. I'm like, when you're calm, we'll talk. Like, are you ready? And I will, those are my words. Are you ready? You tell me when you're ready, right? So once again, the child has the control. So in a way that, like, yet you're controlling the situation, but the child feels like he has a little bit more control. So a couple weeks ago, my little boy, Bobo, was having, like, a huge fit. And so we're putting him in the car. Number one, if you're in a car and your child's freaking out, pull over. Like, I've been in way too many cars where a shoe's going across. And you know what? That's just very dangerous. So just pull over and just wait. And I know that it's hard. And we talked about this last week, that parents, what they need to give their child when they're in that moment is time. They need time, quality time, to be able to calm that child down so the child knows that they're there. The minute you get unraveled is the minute everything just goes. Right. The whole situation escalates. And sometimes I've talked to parents like, I don't even know what I just said. And that you don't want that either. Right. So you want to make sure you're very centered and as regulated as you can on the situation. So, for example, the kids outside the grocery store, I'm like, all right, tell me when you're ready. Right. And the same thing with Bobo. When I put him in the car, he wanted to sit in the back seat first off without his car seat. Well, that's just not going to happen, you know? And he's like, no, car seat. I'm like, wait a minute, no. And then he starts kicking, and he's kicking the seat in front. He's going after his little brother, and I'm just going, oh, here we go. And this is after school. And you know what? I know that I'm probably going to be there for a good 30, 40 minutes. And that's exactly what happened. I get in the car in the back seat. I'm holding his hands down and his legs, and he's just crying. And he's really trying to go after his little brother, just kicking the front seat and saying, no, stupid, stupid. I like this seat. And finally I said, okay, when you're ready, you can get your car seat. But I gave him the choice. Do you want to sit in this seat, but you have to have your car seat? I gave him a choice where he felt like he had some control. And then tell me when you're ready. I'm going to sit here with you until you are completely calm. And I'm going to make sure that you are completely calm before I give you back to your parent. That's another thing. Please don't give a child that's completely off the rail back to a parent if you're working with a child, because it's a lot easier to do that. Not cool. And I know people that have done that. And it's just, you know what, a parent, that's just not fair to the for the parent. All of a sudden you get back a kid that's completely dysregulated and they're just like, what just happened, right? So it took about 20 minutes, I want to say, before Bobo finally said, I'm ready now. Okay, well, great. Now he's back at the original seat, which the one he didn't even want to begin with, which the one he knew he wanted. But I think because he wanted that control, right? And he's like, I want it to be what I want it to be. But yet he also didn't want the car seat. And like, this isn't going to happen. But there are these rules. But at the same time, there's choices within those boundaries that you have with your child. But once I was able to say, are you ready? And the mom looked at me like, that was amazing. Like, yes, I'm ready now. And he was able to calm down. You can see his whole body just like, it just started to melt. And he was just regulated a little bit more, right? But what happened was right before him in the front seat, one of the teachers came out, put his seatbelt over him before he said, I'm ready. And then he just escalated really fast again. And so it just went up. I'm like, no. When you're dealing with a behavior, we don't need like three people involved, right? And we need one person that's dealing with it. And if you need a break, then someone else comes in. But I'm not going to have two people on a child. That's too much, right? They're already trying to figure out the situation. So before we can calm Bobo down, you know, I have someone coming with a seatbelt. I'm like, wait, we just need to do it. Because all of a sudden the kids like escalated all over again. And I said the same thing. Okay, I just had his hands. I was holding his hands down and his legs, right? And because I don't want him to kick, and that's what he's doing. And I mean, by the way, this is the child that will bite me. And we'll talk about biting too. And he's just like unraveling. And I'm like, once again, I'm calm. No one talk, right? And tell me when you're ready, Bobo. You tell me when you're ready, right? And you know what? He did. And that time he was really ready. So you want to look out before you go in. You don't want to go in too soon, right? Because the child might not be ready yet for you. But you want to keep, because I've done this many times when you're like, oh, the child's calm. Just kidding. No, they're not. You're like, oh, man, what did I just do? And you're just thinking beside yourself, like, oh, how did this just happen? I should just give him like 5 more minutes and we'll be good. Now this is going to be another 40 minutes because the child wasn't ready. And then he's just really upset. So just things to think about, right? So when you are dealing with a child having a meltdown, one person at a time. And also make sure that, like, if the child is having a meltdown with a certain person, you don't want to threaten, like, well, wait until dad hears or wait until mom hears this or whatnot. You want to make sure that you're dealing with it, because you want to build that relationship with both parents so it doesn't feel like, oh, someone's a bad guy versus the good guy, right? Or the good cop, bad cop, whatever you want to call it. But it's important that you guys are a team as parents, as you're parenting. Your strategies, they might be a little different, but it's important to understand that you want your child to respect you, right? That you are going to take control of this. You're going to keep your child safe. You're going to be able to help your child self-regulate and teach your child everything that that's your job, you know? I mean, you brought this child in the world, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to teach him how to be part of this, how to be part of the world in a way that's, like, loving, caring. And also, if they're having a hard time, how do we teach them to be able to learn about their body and to be able to cope with all these things that are going around? Because honestly, there's just, if you have a processing issue going on or some sensory issue and things are just too overwhelming, it's a lot, you know, for a 5-year-old. And we talked about IKEA and Costco last week for me. Like, Costco stresses me out. IKEA too. You know, that everything's so big. And can you imagine being like 5 and then you have these big walls and everything is just coming at you, and the lighting especially, oh boy, lights in general just, you know, can be overwhelming for some kids. I had one kid who couldn't express that he had a headache or migraines and put his head in the toilet, and that was his way to communicate that his head just really hurt, until they went to the doctor, they figured out, okay, this is what's going on. So just to be able to watch a child and look at what the nonverbal cues are and what's actually going on, then you can able to really help the child. But the biggest thing is really making sure that you're taking care of yourself as a parent. Like, how are you taking care of yourself and taking care, doing your self-care and everything else that comes along with making sure that you don't burn out, you know? And I have a problem too. I have a tendency to go from one place to the next, and next thing you know, I need a vacation, which is now about every other week, it feels like. But making sure that you're taking a deep breath in and you're breathing and you're doing something that you did way before you had kids. Like, think about that moment when, what made you happy? What was that that you like to do? Like, I just talked to my parents last week and they're like, you should go back to doing ceramics and artwork. Cause I'm tired when you work with so many kids all the time. And I, you know, I go from one child to the next and most of the time I'm getting yelled at, which is my job, but I do get yelled at pretty much most of the time. And I look at that as like, oh, that's a love tap. They really love me, you know, because I'm actually doing my job and making sure that they are understanding that I have my boundaries and I'm consistent and they know that and they're safe with me. And that's what I'm telling you as parents, you know, being consistent and being making sure that you're following through with what you're asking them to do is huge. Kids know what they can get away with and what they can't, right? I was talking to my high schoolers and I go, so how many of you guys know what your parent, like how consistent are your parents? And half of them said they're very consistent. The other half are like, no, I know what I can do. Children know, right? They know how to work it. They'll just give you those eyes and be like, oh, come on, mom or dad, can I have this? And they'll keep whining and whining. And then all of a sudden you give in and then it's like, well, then that behavior happens again. And you're like, why did I do that? It's like, why was I doing that? I should know better. But, you know, understand that those are moments that are, that make you who you know, making you a better parent because you're going to learn. And we are going to be going on break soon. I would love a call if you want to, anyone want to call in at 1-800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222. And a little bit about me. I have a school for kids with learning and behavioral challenges. And if you're not close to me, I have a distance learning program that you can connect in. And we have people that Skype. We have teachers that call in with our students every day. They're part of the group if you are far away from me, along with teaching yoga to children who have autism. So it's called Yoga Education for Autism Spectrum. And I also consult. So I go into homes and schools and everything else. So that's what that sums me up. And I also have a website at Vanessa, V-A-N-E-S-S-A, Cologne, K-A-H-L-O-N .com. Once again, it's V-A-N-E-S-S-A-K-A-H-L-O-N.com. Looking forward to coming back.
You're listening to Parenting with Vanessa Cologne on Talk Radio 790 KABC. If your child is acting out and you're feeling you're losing control, we are here for you live. So get on the phone and call us now at 1-800-ABC-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. That's 1-800-222-5222. Stay tuned.
Hey there, what's the frequency? And the letters?
KABC. It's Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot, where right now, select John Deere mowers come with a free Home Depot gift card worth up to $350. From zero-turn models to the new Excel cutting decks, John Deere gives you a quality cut that won't cut into your downtime. And that free Home Depot gift card puts even more spring in your pocket. Buy a John Deere, get a gift card during Spring Black Friday only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through April 19th in store and online. Gift card via mailing rebate. See store for details.
Seemed like I just couldn't lose weight.
My digestion was really messed up.
Hi, I'm Dennis Black in Dallas, Texas. Good nutrition is a major factor in good health. But in this day and age, it's hard to eat right. That's why I created Texas Superfood. Texas Superfood is made from 55 raw, vine-ripened fruits and vegetables. In a capsule or a powder, you can see them all at TexasSuperfood.com.
To order, go to TexasSuperfood.com or call us at 877-55-TEXAS. That's 877-55-TEXAS.
You're unique, so why is your mattress one size fits all? Because a custom mattress costs thousands, until now. Hi, I'm Christian Von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for for you for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to HelixSleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Shipping is free, and you have 100 nights to try it out. Go to HelixSleep.com/talkradio and get $50 off your order. HelixSleep.com/talkradio.
Blinds are one of those things I never thought I'd buy online, but that was before I found Blinds.com. The prices, selection, and quality are amazing, and their professional designers will give you free online design consultation, helping you pick, measure, and install the perfect blinds. If you mismeasure or pick the wrong color, they'll remake your blinds for free. They'll send you free samples, and every order gets free shipping. Now through April 4th, buy three blinds and get the fourth one free when you go to Blinds.com and use my promo code PAGS. That's Blinds.com. Promo code PAGS. Rules and restrictions apply.
Identity confirmed.
Coming up on the next drive home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, will you not be able to take your laptop on the plane anymore because of potential terrorism?
Plus, we'll have the latest in the box office, and of course, we'll see if any more celebrities got hit over the weekend by those burglars.
Oh, God, no.
Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Mike Hathaway right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back. You're listening to Parenting with Vanessa Colon on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Whether your child has autism, sensory integration, ADHD, anxiety, or any other issue, and you're feeling at a loss with your child's behavior, this is the show for you. Vanessa has helped empower many parents with tools to improve their parenting skills, and she is here to help you too. To get on the air live with your question or comment, call now, 1-800-ABC-KABC. That's 1-800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222.
Welcome back. You're listening to Parenting with Vanessa Colon. My normal time is Sundays at 7, and the Kings are playing, so I got booted. So here I am, Saturday, which is fine. I get a day off tomorrow. And so let's talk about a little bit about what I do. For the last 20 years, I've been working with kids with different behavioral and learning challenges from, you know, different diagnoses, which I'm not really into that. I feel like everybody is a unique person, and I'd like to figure out how to make everything individualized. But kids with anxiety, sensory integration, autism. If you are finding yourself frustrated and you're like, I don't know what to do, and just beside yourself, please call. I'm here to help you, and you can reach me at 1-800-222-5222. Once again, it's 1-800-222-5222. And if you can't call in right now, you can definitely email me at Colon, K-A-H-L-O-N, family, services at gmail. Once again, it's Colon, K-A-H-L-O-N, family services at gmail with any questions. And last week we had a couple questions that I want to talk about. One, another question that was talked about was, okay, my child has seen a bunch of professionals and therapists and they know what to say, right? They know what to say and do. And then nobody sees any of the behaviors they're talking about, right? So once again, the parent's like, am I nuts? Like, what is going on? Like, my kid does act out, I swear. And that happens all the time. One reason why I go into the home, I'm going to see it all, right? And people call me and I go, no, don't, like, well, they're not going to show you anything. And I go, no, they will. Just watch, right? Just wait and see. And usually when I do an assessment or an observation when I go into a school setting, I have the parents, they'll call me and I go, they'll say, we'll send you all this information. Well, I want no information. I want to go in. I don't even want the child. And then I tell the teachers, who's the child, point them out, and I want to figure it out myself with an open heart and an open mind, right? I don't want to have any more information on the child that everyone else has seen. I want to go in there and be like, what's going on and how can I really help this family, where I'm not looking at an assessment or a diagnosis. And I actually just got a message right now, and I have a kid, Daniel, who I've been working with, and I'm hoping he calls in. He just got scared to call in, but he actually was able to call in the show for, actually, we had a behavior plan in place and he was successful. So I'm hoping he does call in. And if you are listening, Daniel, please do. I'm hoping so. and if not, it's a little shout out for doing a great job at Walgreens. And yeah, so let's hopefully that happens in the next like 5 minutes. But going back to why kids have a tendency to be able to, you know, walk into an office and they'll tell you what to say. First off, we've been spoon feeding children exactly what we want them to do, right? First, you need to take a break. You need to use your words. You need to do all these things. And I got to tell you, they know what to say. So when a therapist walks in or like, well, what can we do? Well, in the moment, the child doesn't have that, right? So another kid gets in line and all of a sudden they push them down the stairs, right? Or you have a child that really wants a toy, like a block, and another little boy walks over and takes that block. And I'm not kidding. I mean, some of my kids are like super big compared to the other ones, and that kid goes flying across the room. Well, I'm over-exaggerating a little bit, but why not? It's fun. But in those moments, that child completely shuts down and they don't have that skill set. So how do we able to teach that? And that's where I think going into the home is the most, like, it's so beneficial because you can actually do it in the moment. I was about, when I was doing my marriage and family therapist, like, intern hours, which I'm not licensed after doing all my 3,000 hours, and I had a kid come in, and the case was handed down to me from another therapist, and, like, you know, he talks about his dad being in the closet, in the carpet. And he's like, just don't mention and ask why. And I go, okay, what's going on here? But he's always hitting him, like hitting kids. Everything's getting out. But so when I got him, if someone's going to tell me not to ask a child something, of course I'm going to do it. So once I started understanding like what the carpet was, come to find out his dad was in jail. And he was just acting out from just, you know, feeling the loss of not having his father around and everything else. So we're 4 weeks in now, and he is still getting in trouble. And he comes in, and he's calm, and he loves seeing me, and it's great. We have a great relationship. And he keeps saying the same thing over and over again. I'm like, okay, this is just getting really boring for me because I'm not seeing anything. And I always tell people, if you haven't seen a behavior in a couple sessions and you're not really pushing, and it's not like I'm saying push the child to the extreme where you're going to break them, but it's like, let's push them to where they're actually learning to function in society and that we're actually teaching them what to do. So the grandma's in the session with me and I go, do I have permission to touch your child? And she's like, yeah, of course, no big deal. Well, he was sitting in the chair and I literally pushed him over. And I don't recommend doing this with everybody, but I did it in a nice way. It probably sounds worse than what it is. But I literally pushed, and he came at me. And you know, this is a 7-year-old. And I'm all, this is what I'm talking about. This is where you need to control it. And he looked at me, and he stopped. And that's where we started to see the change in his behavior. And I was like, you know what? We're not doing this in an office anymore. I'm coming to your home. And we're going to start doing things. And I'm going to start doing things that kind of piss you off a little bit. And within like a couple months, we're seeing more changes. But I'm like, if I'm not really pushing, and I don't recommend pushing a child, right? And I also had permission from the grandma to do it. And there was a witness, and it wasn't hard. But how are we going to get a child to be able to, you know, they need to be in the community, and they need these life lessons to be able to function, right? How are we going to teach that? You can just go into an office and talking about it over and over again. I mean, doesn't really, with some kids it works. I'm not saying it doesn't work all the time, but I haven't seen it to be as successful as going into the home or saying, you know, I'm going to come to the school and I'm going to do things. I will go to a school and literally, like, if a child's playing with blocks, I might accidentally knock them all over, right? And that's totally fine. But I want to be able to make sure that we are definitely working on those skill sets that he's able to be successful or she's able to be successful to use that language, right? So I'm not going to just go in there and play and say, like, oh, this is great. No, I'm gonna be like, oops, I accidentally knocked that over. And then you can see they get really frustrated, but I'm going to go in and teach right away. I'm not going to sit there and say, no, we don't do that. I'm going to give them the words right away. Boom. I don't like that. Give me space, or you need to help me do this. I'm not going to sit here and lecture a child. I'm going to say, this is how I'm going to teach them. We're going to give them the words right away. So they have the words that they can do the next time. And then I'm going to practice again in 5 minutes. I might be nice for like a little bit, right? And then I'm going to go back in and say, like, okay, I'm going to break this. And then we're going to do it again. But by the fourth time, they're not going to be as frustrated. And that's teaching. That's where you're teaching a child to use their words. They need to have that muscle memory and to have it come automatically versus like a child coming in and they do something and then they're like pushing that kid across the way. I'd rather them try to push me because I'm bigger and safe, you know, and I can control it versus a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old. And then being able to give them the language. And we have a caller, Bill. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hi, Oh, good, good. I have a niece that I tend to take out. We go out, you know, sometimes I'll take her out, you know, for events and things. And so I took her a few weeks ago out up down to San Diego, and we're at a restaurant, and she made the loudest outburst because I wouldn't get her what she wanted for lunch, and caused a huge scene. I was quite embarrassed, and I stuck to my guns. I said, I'm not going to get her what she wanted to eat, which was, you know, like something not nutritious, which her parents don't usually allow her to have.
Right.
But me being the son, the fun uncle, you know, I wanted to cave in, and I didn't. But everybody seems to not to be as firm, and so when she's with me, she'll you know, she'll put up that stuff, and then after and she simmers down, and I don't put up with it. She has a little tantrum, screams in public, and I'm just so embarrassed. But at the same time, after it's done, you know, she simmers down, and it's great. But my problem is that when I, you know, when she's back with her parents and everybody, she continues the same behavior because they don't stay firm.
Right.
What do you have to say to that?
I mean, I feel like that. I mean, that's hard because it's not your child, right? And it's somebody else's on there.
Yeah.
But I think modeling, a lot of times what I would do is, in that situation, just explain to the parents what happened and that you followed through. How long was the behavior?
Oh, we're talking like 15 minutes.
Okay. And I mean, and explaining to that, that's how long it was. And then next time you take her out, talk to her about the behavior and making sure that, like, looking at the menu beforehand, right, can help her, like, this is mm-hmm. what we're going to be doing, and just have it prepared before. But when it comes to somebody else's other child, I mean, that's really difficult. But having just a conversation, like, how often does that happen? What strategies are you guys using? Do you find those strategies to be helpful? And just having these open-ended conversations with them and explaining what you did. And if you were, and obviously the follow-through is huge. And next time it won't be 15 minutes, the behavior might be 13. Does that make sense? And then the next time after that, it might be 10. Because she knows you're being consistent. Kids know, right?
Right.
And or maybe, like, you guys all go out to dinner and see what's going on and be like, well, this worked for me this time, right? And modeling it. I think it's a lot easier for parents to swallow if you can model it instead of, like, telling them what you feel is going on. Does that make sense? Because I think that's hard.
Yeah.
And you're not with the child 24 hours a day, too. So I think that's another, you know. But being consistent, she's going to know. And if you are – and I'm glad that you stayed in the restaurant, correct?
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, she's learning. And that's a great opportunity for her to learn that she's not going to get away with that with you, right? And
right.
So that great job on, like, sticking to your guns on that one and not leaving, because a lot of times people will leave and then the child just learns, if I just act out, guess what? I'm just going to – it doesn't matter. And I could just do that again, and it actually gets worse.
Got it.
Right?
Okay, well, thanks for the advice.
Yeah, did I help you?
Yeah, that helped a lot.
Yeah, just
make sure that next time it happens, and I'm with mixed company with everybody else, I will intervene and let them know that she's behaved better with me, and she's capable of doing that. And it might wake up her memory again and say, look, you know, yeah, I knew you were able to do it.
Right.
You did it with me.
Right. And another thing is, too, setting up for success, right? If you know that she's going to try to, like, get some food that, you know, the parents can't have, don't want her to have, I would just make sure that you show her the menu and you have an idea of giving her two choices that she can have before you walk into the restaurant. So it doesn't happen that you're trying to figure out what to eat at the restaurant. So that'll help the behavior just decrease because she'll know what to expect, right? Versus trying to come at you and, like, this is what I want. But being able to give her, like, two choices beforehand and looking at the menu, like, what are you going to order, X or Y? Those are your two options.
Mm-hmm.
And that will help kind of just decrease the behavior.
Awesome. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill, for calling. I appreciate it. And if you have any questions, I'm on Sundays, too, at 7 o'clock.
Great.
Thank you, Bill.
Great show.
Thanks. Well, you guys are listening to Parenting with Vanessa Colon. We're about to go on break. And if you just tuned in, I'm normally on Sundays at 7. And we are talking about meltdowns and children's behaviors and all that fun stuff that happens at home and out in the community. I have a distance learning program, so along with a school. And if you are far from the school, that's where the distance learning program comes in, where we working on social emotional learning, individualized academics, all the fun stuff with that, along with I teach a yoga program for kids who have autism to teach self-regulation skills, along with going into the home and working with families on behavioral issues that are happening. You can look at my website at Vanessa, Vanessa, Colon, Khalon, vanessakalone.com. Once again, it's Vanessa, V-A-N-E-S-S-A. K-A-H-L-O-N.com. If you are finding yourself frustrated and not sure what to do and just need a little extra support or just want someone to listen, I'm here. Please call in. You know, you're not alone. And that's what I tell parents. There's a lot of parents out there right now that are struggling, and you're not alone. And once again, the number to call in is 1-800-222-5222. 1-800-222-5222. Be right back. Thanks.
You're listening to Parenting with Vanessa Colone on Talk Radio 790 KABC. If your child is acting out and you're feeling you're losing control, we are here for you live. So get on the phone and call us now at 1-800-ABC-KABC. 1-800-222-5222. That's 1-800-222-5222. Stay tuned. So have you
got the goods? Welcome to Geico's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to Geico. Scored some big savings, and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. You know what doesn't make sense? If a car is called a horseless carriage, why isn't a motorcycle called a horseless horse? Maybe it would just be adding insult to injury for the out-of-work horses.
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
You started your business because you have something special to offer, and you want customers to know it from the moment you hand them your card. That's why now is the time to go to Vistaprint.com to get 500 customized, high-quality business cards starting at just $9.99. Choose everything about your card with thousands of customizable designs for every industry and our support specialist standing by to help. Head to Vistaprint.com to get 500 business cards starting at $9.99. Use promo code 5151 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 5151.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC. We could be together.
Welcome back. You're listening to Parenting with Vanessa Colone on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Whether your child has autism, sensory integration, ADHD, anxiety, or any other issue, and you're feeling at a loss with your child's behavior, this is the show for you. Vanessa has helped empower many parents with tools to improve their parenting skills, and she is here to help you too. To get on the air live with your question or comment, call now, 1-800-ABC-KABC. That's 1-800-222-5222. 1-800-222-5222.
Welcome back. You're listening to Parenting with Vanessa Colone. My normal time is Sundays at 7 p.m. And I am here today since the Kings are playing tomorrow. And I have just a little background about myself. I've been working with children with different diagnoses, labels, whatever you want to call it, just behavioral issues for the last 20 years. And I have a school for behavioral and learning challenges. And along with that school, we have a distance learning program for children who are having a hard time, you know, if they're getting bullied or just any learning differences, and they just are having, they just can't follow the regular curriculum that everyone else can do, which would be me as a child. And then along with that, I've developed a yoga program for kids who have autism. My passion is about teaching children to self-regulate and being able to make sure that we are really challenging children so they are part of the community and being able to go be out in public even during a meltdown and learning how to actually function. Because I think that's one thing that you'll find a lot of parents are calling that I talk to, that I can't go here, I can't go, you know, I do a lot in the Jewish community. We don't go to synagogues because it's too loud, or people are going to stare, or we don't go to the grocery store because they're going to have a meltdown and I don't, you know, people are looking. And, you know, everyone just needs to kind of either ask for help or just look the other way. It's not helping us or anyone else that's out there. And definitely I'm that person that's taking kids out in the community, and I get looked at, and I've had a couple people tell me, you know, will approach me with something and say something to me. And I'm like, well, if you think you can do a better job, go for it. Take the kid. They won't do it, of course. Right. And with our last caller, Bill, one thing I want to touch on is, you know, we talk about what to handle during a behavior, but how do we help a behavior from not even happening, right? So a couple things we could talk about are, you know, during transition times, which everyone's probably like, what do you mean transitions? Like going from the car, you know, to somewhere else, or you, all of a sudden you put your kid in the car and you're like, okay, we're just going to the grocery store, but wait, I have to go by the bank. So right there is like another transition in there that you have to stop somewhere else and do something. Or you have to get out of the car to go to the bank and then back into the car to the grocery store so you can understand how taxing it could be for some kids. No, I just want to go to the grocery store. That's what you told me. I love the ones like the kids are like very black or white. No, you said we're going to do this and then we're going to do this. And then you're going to say something else. I'm not doing it. I one time was fighting with one of my kids and I said, can you drop it? Like, and you know, figuratively, like, you know, drop it, like. Drop the conversation in my mind. Well, he had my iPad. He dropped my iPad. He's like, well, you told me to drop it. I'm like, oh, I should have known better. Language is really important. Language is really important. So as my iPad's on the floor and I'm just shaking my head going, that's all on me. I should know better because once again, you know, I know that he's very literal and that he's going to take everything that I say. That's just what it is. Drop it. He drops my iPad. That's what we're doing. That's what we're talking about. You know, so one thing to talk about to prevent a behavior, you want to make sure you're very clear on the transitions, right? Like, what are you doing? So if the child, you know, you're taking your child from, you know, you're picking it from school, what's the schedule like? Do they know? If you don't even know what's going on and then all of a sudden you have a child that's having a meltdown, they could be having a meltdown because they have no idea what's coming up next, right? So if they have no idea what's coming up next, that's going to increase their anxiety. I always tell parents, you have a schedule, right? You know what you're doing. You know what time. I know on Sundays at 7 p.m., I'm here. I know that always because I know in my head what's going to happen. I know when I wake up on Monday that I want to stay in bed, but I have to get up and go to school. I have to go up and go to school. I'm not in school anymore, guys, but it's funny. I'm cracking myself up here. I mean, I have to go to work. There's a set schedule routine, right? Well, if kids don't know what's coming up next, they're going to have a meltdown. I would too. What do you mean you're taking me here and I don't want to do that? So you want to make sure you're very clear on like what's happening. And I know it's really annoying because I'm actually one of those people that I'm better at being unorganized. And so I've really tried to organize my life with just like getting things, my house organized and everything else. I can't find anything anymore. It's like the more organized I became, the more unorganized I was. But for kids need to know what's happening next, you know, or, you know, what's going to happen after dinner. Are you changing the routine every night, right? Are you having them do 3 books and then one night 5 books, another night 7 books before they go to bed? You want to be consistent and you want to make sure that you have a schedule. And a lot of times I tell parents, you know, write out the schedule. Let them have their own schedule and they can put like a check next to it. And they feel like, wow, I'm this really, you know, this is awesome. I can't believe like I'm like a young adult now. Like my dad or my mom, I have a planner and I have everything else. Like, great. It's like go potty. Check. Go to the bathroom. Check. Brush your teeth. Check. Right. But literally break everything down that way. If you're going to go to a restaurant, you know, what are they going to order? Have that ready before you walk in the door. Don't sit there and negotiate at the table when the waiter's there. And then all of a sudden the water falls across the table and then your kid's there. And then you're just like mortified right now. Like, what is happening in my life? I don't want to be here. So have it planned out. And also, do they know? I've done this so many times that, you know, there's a hostess there. There's all these like rules in society that we kind of have to follow, like the hostess sits you. I've had kids walk in, they just walk into a table and they just go to any table. And sometimes they'll go where someone else is sitting. See, with dishes. Like, you want to make sure that it's very clear over the expectations. And also giving the child choices. You know, I'm not going to be telling a child, you know, over and over again that what I want them to do. I'm going to give them like, well, what do you think about this? Do you want to do X? Do you want to do Y? Always give them a choice, right? Do you want 2 books or 5 books? Well, let's not have 5 books before bedtime, please, but like 2 books or 3, right? But at least they have some control because children need to have some control versus being told what to do all the time. And if you're going to tell a child no all the time, explain why. You know, some people are like, I'm not into saying no. Well, no is fine. No, kids need to hear no, but no with an explanation, right? And that is something that I think is really important. And it's been great being here on a Saturday. It's beautiful outside, so I'm going to go enjoy the sun now. And if you want to hear more about Listen to Me for the next couple weeks, I'm on Sundays at 7 p.m. This is Parenting with Vanessa Colon, and I have 20 years of experience working with different kids, different families, you name it, I've done it. I like to be in the trenches with the families and we're really figuring out the plan that's individualized for each child. I have a distance learning program for education along with the school if you're far from the school. And I developed a yoga program for kids who have autism, which is Yaz Yoga. And let's think, and I've said and a lot a couple times right now. So if you want to check out my website at Vanessa, VanessaKahlon.com. Once again, Vanessa, VanessaKahlon. And I'm looking forward to being back next week, Sunday at 7 o'clock. Thank you.
This show furnished by Cologne Family Services. A seven nation army couldn't hold me back. They're gonna rip it off, taking their time right behind my back. And I'm talking to myself.
Home of the smartest listeners in Southern California. Talk Radio.